Good morning. A very warm welcome to all of you gathered here, and especially a warm welcome to those visitors that we have in our midst this morning. Also, a special welcome to those who are joining us online, either now or later in the week. Please know that whoever you are, wherever you are, and however you may be watching, you are very welcome here this morning. So let us worship God. We sing together hymn 198. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
Well, again, good morning to you all. Just a few intimations as we get going. There will be a further time for fellowship and some tea and biscuits in the sanctuary following the service. So as the song just said, all are welcome in this place for tea and biscuits after the service. Also, volunteers to help serve those tea and biscuits following each service are invited to put their name on the rota that's in the vestibule. Next, we have a we're blessed with a very faithful prayer group here at the Old Parish. So if you or someone you know would like to be prayed for, if you have some concerns you would like to lift up, you can write those things or those names on a tag. There's a prayer tree in the McMichael Chapel just to the left out of the vestibule, and you can put your prayer requests on a tag and place them on the tree or in a box in the chapel. Also, prayer requests can be submitted online via the church website or the Facebook page. There's a link located there. And if you would like to join the group in prayer, they'll be gathering today following the service at 11:40 a.m. in the chapel, and you would be most welcome to join them. This Tuesday, the Tuesday group Burns Supper will be held at 7:30 p.m. in the parish hall. The proceedings will be chaired by Ken Christie, and food will be provided by Bella Catering. I hear it will be quite tasty. So an excellent program of entertainment also has been prepared, and tickets costing £15 can be obtained today. And I've been told there are a few left. We have a good group coming, so if you'd like to come, make sure you get those tickets today. And also, it says on the ticket you're supposed to bring a bottle and a cup or a glass. You don't need to bring the glass. I think glasses have been provided for. You still need to bring a bottle, but the glass you don't need. The monthly worship service in Eccles Court will be held this Wednesday at 2 p.m. And all are invited to join us there. And also, there will be a series of Bible studies in the McMichael Chapel led by Gary and myself beginning on Tuesday, the 3rd of February at 7 p.m. Those studies will run each week through Tuesday, the 3rd of March, and they'll be a kind of a continuation of what we've been doing in the fall. So if you'd come to those, you know the study is a very relaxed time of conversation, mostly centered on just some basic or foundational questions about faith. So it's a nice time to come and ask your questions and dig a little bit deeper in your faith. So all are welcome to come to those each Tuesday beginning February 3rd at 7 p.m. Lastly, articles for the spring edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by Sunday, the 15th of February, and those can be left in the McMichael Chapel or emailed to the email address that's listed on your bulletin or order of service. And I hand over to Gary.
Thank you, Jake. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before the all-age talk, I'm required to read out a citation from the Presbytery of Perth. This came on Friday afternoon. Your congregation is cited to attend a meeting of the Presbytery of Perth on Saturday, February 7th at St. Matthew's Parish Church in Perth at 10:30 a.m. in regard to the draft updated Presbytery Mission Plan. You may allocate up to three people as your representatives, and one will be permitted to speak if desired. This citation should be read to the congregation on Sunday, January 25th and Sunday, February 1st, and be displayed in a prominent place. Now, you might be wondering, what on earth is this about? You may recall that last year I spoke to you about the Presbytery Mission Plan, which looks ahead and to the future pattern of ministry within the different areas throughout the presbytery. And with regard to ourselves, we're encouraged to work closely as we do with Park Church in Stirling and also Holyrood Viewfield. And the long-term plan is that the number of ministers will go down from 3 to 2. Mercifully, it doesn't say who the two ministers will be that will be left. Though I'm the oldest of the three, that doesn't mean a thing. Now, the draft updated presbytery plan, we've not had sight of that. It will come on Wednesday, but I'm led to believe that the situation regarding St. Ninian's Old, Park Church and Holyrood Viewfield will not have been changed. And therefore, we don't intend to speak at the presbytery, but of course the session clerk and Jake and I will be there anyway, and we will speak if required. So this citation, a copy is already in the notice board, and it will be read again next Sunday. I'll maybe give Jake the honour of reading it next week. Friends, if you want to see how you're looking, what do? You look in a mirror. Now, I've got a mirror with me today. So, quite a big mirror that, isn't it? Now, when you look in a mirror, you might want to see if you're needing to brush your hair. That's not a problem that some of us have got. But I remember a time when I had a wee bit more hair than I have now. And you would always have a wee look and sort your hair. And a mirror's a great help with that. But you might also want to look in a mirror to make sure that your face is clean. How else would you know if it's clean? And that's particularly important after you've eaten certain things, like maybe tomato soup, or a cream meringue, or spaghetti bolognese. You know how you can feel it. So mirrors are important to help us see how we're looking. And of course, you can get much bigger mirrors than this, long mirrors that we can look into to make sure that we're looking smart and that our clothes and the colours coordinate. I remember once meeting a friend and he looked at me and he said, "Did you dress in the dark?" I thought he was being very cheeky. Mirrors have been around for hundreds of years, and they really just have one purpose, and it is to reflect. To reflect colours, images, and light. And in that regard, I think we can learn something from mirrors. Because God wants us to be like mirrors. He wants us to reflect the life and the story of Jesus. Now, how do we do that? Any answers? How do we reflect the life and the story of Jesus? Through? Absolutely, Margaret. Well done. Through the things that we say. And I remember, and I'm sure you've heard of this, before we open our mouths to speak, three questions to ask ourselves. Is what we're going to say true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So, through the words we speak, we can reflect the life and the story of Jesus. But there's something else. Not only through the words that we speak, the things that we do. I remember a quote, "Don't shine so that others see you. Shine so that through you and what you do, others see Jesus." There's something for us to think about. It isn't always easy for us to reflect the life and story of Jesus because Jesus is perfect. But God has said, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Later in the service today, we'll be thinking about Jesus as the great light prophesied by Isaiah. And we'll be thinking of our role to reflect the light in our everyday lives. And so, here's your homework. Every time you look in a mirror, ask yourself, how well am I reflecting the life and the story of Jesus? What more could I do through the things that I speak and do to make it clear that Jesus lives? There's something for us all to think about. We're going to sing the hymn. It's a great hymn, hymn 448, 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
I realized I was so excited to get to the all-age talk, I blew right past the prayers. But it's never too late to pray, so can we pray now? Our call to prayer comes from the words of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let us pray. Eternal God, as we gather in this place, we lift our voices, our prayers, and our hopes to you. Within these sacred walls, we trust the words of the psalm, that you are our light and our salvation. And we believe that you are the stronghold of our lives. But even as we trust and believe, we are ever aware of the challenges that we face and the difficulties that persist within our lives and in the world. And so rather than hiding from those things or pushing them away, we ask that through our worship and through our prayers, you would enable us to bring all of our concerns and our worries to you. Grant us the peace that comes through trusting in you. Give us the courage to place our burdens, our tiredness, our fears, and our worries in your hands. And give us the grace to receive your renewal, relief, and assurance in return. Open our minds to hear your living word and receive your wisdom. Open our hearts to welcome the warmth of your love. Shine your light upon us here, now, and always, that we might reflect you to the world. As we ask for your light, Lord, we ask knowing that the same light that illumines our lives also illumines those hidden and shadowed places in our lives. And so we confess to you those things in our lives which we hide from ourselves and others. We bring to you the sins of which we are aware, and we ask that your light would shine on the sins that sit in shadow. Illuminate the ways that we harm one another and ourselves through our selfish actions, neglect, and biases. Illumine the ways that we are complicit in failing to care for this good earth for the sake of convenience or inaction. Illumine the ways that we fail to care for the vulnerable and the ways that we hold back from speaking for those whose voices so often go unnoticed. Lord, illuminate our lives so that we might follow your light. But most of all, enlighten our lives with your grace. Help us in all circumstances to see, to know, and to trust in your salvation. Help us to know your forgiveness and to believe the hope that you have granted each of us and all people, the hope that you have given us through the cross and through your presence with us as it is here and now and always. Holy God, bless us now as we pray together in the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading, the first reading, is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 4, and it can be found on page 575 of the Pew Bible. That's Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land, the deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Our second reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 4, and it can be found on page 3 of the Pew Bible in the New Testament section. That's Matthew chapter 4 and verses 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Amen.
We sing together hymn 261, Father Eternal, Ruler of Creation.
Oh,
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who lived in a land as dark as death, a light has dawned. My friends, if you've spoken to anyone recently, be it at the shops, the post office, waiting for the bus, you'll know that almost every conversation seems to begin the same way. What on earth is happening in the world? Sometimes it feels as if the news channels are competing in a competition titled, "How Gloomy Can We Make It?" But the sad fact is, they are reporting the truth. Between conflict, division, uncertainty, and the general sense that the world has forgotten how to be kind, many people feel the lights have been switched off. And even the most hopeful among us, yes, even those of us who would describe ourselves as cup half full people, find it very concerning. But then comes Isaiah, speaking into a world not so very unlike ours, a world of turmoil, a world where fear and uncertainty were the daily companions of ordinary people, a world where the prosperous and successful lacked humility and did not see their need for God. Into that world, he dares to speak a word of hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A light not of their own making. A light that was not the flicker of a candle struggling in the wind, but a great light, God's light, breaking into the darkness of the world. When Matthew echoes Isaiah's prophecy, he is not pointing us to a star over Bethlehem and the child in the manger. Instead, he points us to Jesus Christ grown into adulthood, walking through Galilee, teaching and healing, calling ordinary folk like fishermen and tax collectors to follow him. It's almost as if Matthew invites us not simply to admire or look at the light, but to walk in the light. But that raises a question, doesn't it? What does it mean to walk in the light today? How do we live out our faith in a world that seems determined at times to give succor to the darkness? In this country, we know a thing or two about darkness, especially in the middle of winter. You can leave your house at 8 a.m. and it's dark. You return home about 4 and it's still dark. But imagine you're driving down a country road on one of those midwinter nights. It's raining, of course. The windscreen wipers are on full, and you can barely see. Then a driver coming in the other direction flashes their light, not in irritation, but to warn you of a hazard ahead. Their simple act helps keep you safe, a tiny gesture, but it makes a world of difference. Faith often works like that. You may not think your light is strong or impressive, but someone else might be relying on it to steer them safely through a dark time in their life. We all know inspiring stories of well-known figures whose lives shone brightly for Christ. I often think of Eric Liddell, the athlete, and we know that story. And for many folk, it's only that story about refusing to take part in a race because it was on a Sunday. That's the story that the people know. But they don't know, many of them, that he went on to become a missionary in China. And when things became very difficult, nasty, in that country, and he was told, listen, for your own safety, go home. He said, no, I'm waiting here with the people. He lost his life. But what a witness. Maximilian Kolbe was a Polish priest. He was held captive at Auschwitz. And when another prisoner was selected to be put to death, the young Polish priest said, no, no, he's a father, he has children. Let me die in his place. And he did. And what of Martin Luther King Jr., a remarkable man for sure, who proclaimed that we are all, regardless of color, made in God's image. And in the face of great opposition, he declared, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. The courage of such people continues to inspire us today. But can I put it to you that sometimes the greatest lights are the quieter ones? I recently heard a story about a woman in a care home. She wasn't able to do much. She couldn't walk far. She wasn't able to engage in lengthy conversations. But she had a lovely, gentle, steady faith. And when other residents were frightened or distressed, she would simply go up to them and take their hand and say, you're not alone. God loves you. And the atmosphere changed. People felt calmer, safer, held, and loved. And there's a story of a Glaswegian bus driver who, motivated by his love for Christ, made it his mission to greet every single passenger with a smile and a friendly greeting. Wasn't that lovely? A lovely thing to do. And one day, a woman wrote to the bus company to commend that driver. And she said, his smile and friendly words helped her when she was going through a hard time in her life. A smile, a friendly word, small acts, ordinary acts, but they shine. And in a dark world, light, even the tiniest flicker, can make a difference. What was it Shakespeare said? How far that little candle throws his beams, so shines a good deed in a weary world. Are you impressed? Now, having mentioned Shakespeare, that great English poet, it would be remiss of me not to mention a certain Scottish poet. And who better than Robert Burns on this, the anniversary of his birth. I attended the wreath laying ceremony at Burns' statue in Stirling yesterday. And during that time, David Sibbald, an expert in the work of Burns, made a point that resonated with me. David reminded us that in many of Burns' poems and songs, Burns speaks about love and understanding and tolerance and respect, virtues that seem to be in short supply at this time. But there's hope with Jesus Christ. There always is. Matthew tells us that Jesus, the great light, walked among ordinary people and called them to follow him. He called them not because they were perfect, not because they had everything figured out. He called them because the light spreads most effectively through the lives of ordinary people. My friends, Jesus still calls people to follow him today. And we need to remember that. Jesus still calls. And he calls people to spread the light. People who choose compassion in a world that prizes convenience. People who choose generosity in a culture that loves to keep score. People who choose peace in a world addicted to outrage. Now, sometimes carrying the light means very simple things. Checking on a neighbour, listening. That's a great gift to give other people. That's what people sometimes need. It's someone just to listen to them. What about refusing to join in cruel gossip? It's so easy to get involved in that, isn't it? But remember these three points. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? What about sharing food? In Scotland today, there's many people who are struggling. As you know, I live alone, and it startles me at times when I go to the checkout in the supermarket, the cost. And I wonder, how is it for families, for people in low incomes? Sharing food, practicing hospitality. That's what the gospel calls us to do. And what about the example of that Glasgow bus driver? Aren't the Glasgow people great? Great humour, humanity, friendly people. I'm not saying anything about other cities, of course. But that Glasgow bus driver, just offering a smile and a friendly word. That can make a difference. We might not think that. You know, when you smile at someone, you might think, well, that's a natural thing to do, to smile. You're maybe the only person that smiled to that person that day, or that week, or that month. I once heard someone say, you might be the only Bible that someone reads this week. That puts pressure on us, for sure, as Christian people, called to reflect the life and story of Jesus, and yet, I think this is something for us to embrace. When other people look at us, what do they see? Wasn't it Paul who said, I live, yet not I, but Christ Jesus lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. I remember a colleague telling me about an evening service that took place some years ago. And during the service, there was a power cut. And it was the winter. So you can imagine, no lights. It was dark. Now, you might have thought, well, let's just go home. But someone said, no, there's candles in the hall. And they went through the hall and they got candles and they came back and they lit them. And then others took out their phones, which of course were in silent. Got the torch. And shone around. And you know this? Before long, that church had a warm glow. And the minister said it was one of the most moving services he'd conducted because the people became a light to each other and a lesson was learned. That is the heart of Isaiah's message. The world is dark, sometimes painfully so. But the light has come, and the light continues to come through Christ, through us, through every act of love that reflects his presence and proclaims that the kingdom of heaven is near. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Let us walk in that light. Let us carry it. Let us share it. For the world needs it. Now, more than ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We sing the hymn 748. 748. And it's the hymn, As Stars Adorn the Night-Veiled Sky. I think we'll pick up the tune all right, Tony. Yep, that's great. Oh, I see. Some people have got four verses and some have got five. Well, we'll sing five verses, 748, and if you've only got four, you can hum.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we raise our voices in thanks and prayer to you. Lord, we thank you that in your goodness, your Holy Spirit fills this place, weaving in and through us to create life and reflect light. We thank you for the trust and friendship that that same Spirit has fostered in this place. And we bless you for the unity of hope that we share with all people of faith who gather here and in other sanctuaries around the world. We ask that you would continue to guide us by your Spirit and lead us by your light. Make us faithful disciples who realize the gift of your love in our lives and shine that light of love on all people and on all creation. Holy God, as we give thanks for your presence, we acknowledge and lift before you all those who in the world and among us find hope to be a difficult thing to grasp. God of light, we pray for those who find themselves in places of gloom and anguish. We pray for families living in the midst of war and violence, for children who find themselves alone and afraid, for women who are unsafe, and for all who experience oppression of any kind. God of all, shine your light into the darkness. God of compassion, we pray for people afflicted by poverty, for people who are afflicted by homelessness and lack of clean water or reliable sources of food. We pray for communities unable to secure safety for their children and for those who find themselves most vulnerable and insecure in our world. God of all, shine your light into the darkness. God of abundance, you fill creation with beauty and splendor, and we praise you for the gift of life in all of its forms. Teach us to live as wise stewards, not in fear of scarcity, but trusting in your abundance so that we might share all that we have and care for this world in order that all people have enough. God of all, shine your light into the darkness. God of hope, we pray for the people in our world who carry great burdens, especially for all those who are sick, and for those who carry their burdens in service to others. We lift to you activists and nonprofits. We pray for medical professionals, for mental health workers, for teachers, for public safety workers, for parents, and for all those who are in our world who spend their days caring for people who are in need. Lord, we ask that you would lighten their load, strengthen their service, and fill their work with joy so that they might be a light for others. God of all, shine your light into the darkness. And God of light, we give you thanks for those saints who have come before us, both those whom we have known and loved, and for all who faithfully lived in service to you. Guide us by their example, and show us how to shine your light more brightly into our world. Lord, lead us in your love and guide us by your light. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, hymn 112, God, whose almighty word.
Thank you.
And now, people of God, go in faith with the light of Christ ahead of you, the love of God around you, and the people of God beside you. And may the blessing of that same God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and remain with you forevermore.